Welcome to the Caving Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Pelser of the Central Indiana Grotto. Pardon my voice. I am getting over a cold and I'm in the sore throat phase of it. And so it's why I sound like this. This is a podcast about caving or cave exploration. If you're a caver, you already know what's up. If you aren't yet, welcome. If caving's something you're interested in, I'll tell you that there's probably a grotto near you. That's a local chapter of the National Speleological Society. Go to a meeting, make some friends, join up, do it the right way. If you know what you're doing, caving's very safe. If you don't know what you're doing, the opposite is true. So learn how to do it the right way. No caving for me in the last couple months, but my life has seen some adventure, certainly, in recent months. I found out around Thanksgiving that my wife is pregnant with our second child, and she's officially out of the first trimester, so we're pretty much out of the danger zone. We're letting everybody know. No idea if it's a boy or girl yet, but I do know they'll probably end up being a caver, so thanks to all my caving friends who've already congratulated us on Facebook. Needless to say, I'm looking at caving and overall activities drop off late this summer into fall as we welcome the little one. So my wife's letting me bank up some trips between now and then. So, hey, let's go caving. Let me know if you want to do anything. I'm hoping to make at least one trip down to TAG between now and then and more than a few trips in Indiana. This month's guest is a guy who's exploring a karst region in Indiana that not many others have looked at, and that's why I wanted to talk to him. More on Aaron in just a little bit. I want to remind everyone of my Grotto's event, Indiana Cave Capers, the first weekend in August this year. And hey, look at that, I won't be able to make it. My wife's due date is August 1st, so I'm hoping you'll pick up the slack and make it to Capers for me this year. August 2nd through the 4th at the Crawford County Fairgrounds in southern Indiana. Registration will probably be open late spring or early summer, so just save the date for now. Our grotto has new leadership, of course. Rich Lunseth, our former treasurer, is now our chairman. Carl Tuttle is vice chairman. We talk about him a little bit in this month's episode. All good things. Don't worry, Carl. I, of course, served my 2 years as chairman and stepped away from the board at the end of last year, but I may be back in the years ahead once my family building calms down and the kids get older. Again, I'd recommend grotto leadership to anyone. If you're considering it, let your grotto board know. I can tell you they'll be delighted to hear it. So Aaron French, if you're not an Indiana caver, you've probably never heard of him. He hasn't been at it for very long, but he's exploring an area of Indiana karst that not many people pay much attention to. Most Indiana exploration is done in the Crawford Upland and in the Mitchell Plateau and the Mitchell Plain, but Aaron is finding caves and updating the Indiana Cave Survey on the caves in the Scottsburg Lowland and the Muscatatuck Plateau, the southeastern Indiana karst. And I grew up in southeastern Indiana. I didn't become a caver, though, until I was in my 20s, so talking to Aaron was very exciting for me because I'm not familiar with these caves, and I'm glad somebody's working on them. I've gotten in the habit of banking up interviews and releasing them months later, so full disclosure, we talked back in September, but the info's pretty evergreen. So talking to Aaron, it was easy, too. It was more like a conversation than an interview, and I love it when that happens, so I hope you enjoy it. Here's me and Aaron French. So what was your first cave?
Donahue.
Donahue.
Yeah.
Classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great Indian cave.
Yeah. When was that?
That was last June.
So you haven't been at it for maybe just over a year.
Over a year, yeah.
And you've got some kids.
Yep. Three kids.
Was caving something that you were kind of interested in before the kids came along?
No. I first kind of was introduced to the idea of caving about 3 years ago. I have a buddy, I used to brew beer with him, so I'd go over to his house, and he had some equipment down in the basement, and I'd asked him about it, and he said it was for caving. So I thought, well, that sounds pretty interesting. You know, I've always kind of been, I'm interested in outdoor activities. I like, you know, hiking in the woods and camping and things like that, and thought, well, that's maybe something I could get into.
Yeah.
So
I've looked at it as sort of like extreme creek stomping.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. I think Laura Demarest put it that way to me
yeah.
at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in Indiana, where there's nothing but a lot of water. Right. There's a lot of water
here. Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Donahue, what did that first trip give you the bug?
Oh, yeah.
So, you were in from the get-go.
Yeah, the next week, or maybe it was maybe 2 weeks after, I took my family back to Donahue. And then, not too long after that, I was invited to Shiloh. So, my wife, my brother, myself, we went with Dave Everton and a few other people to Shiloh. And then from there, I kind of just got introduced to a cave here, a cave there. Got to meet some people. And yeah, from the get-go, I caught the bug right away.
Well, Shiloh's another good one to hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As far as Indiana caves go, because, I mean, Shiloh's got... It's a limited access cave. You know, the IKC sort of controls part of it. It controls access. It's not owned by the IKC, but there's only 6 trips allowed a year with 10 people max or something like that.
Yeah, correct.
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, that black damp formation passage. I mean, you see that and you're like ruined for life.
Yeah. Yeah. you can't beat that. I mean, that's incredible.
Were you in there when it was high water?
No. I've been there a couple times, and I've never been there when there's been much water. It's been pretty dry.
It's really interesting when the water's really high.
Oh yeah, I bet.
It's like a water park.
Yeah.
We did a grotto trip there, and you know, if you set up a trip to Shiloh, you kind of want to do it regardless of the conditions, unless they're particularly dangerous.
Right.
But we had a ton of rain, and the people who went just said it was just the most fun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Most fun they'd ever had.
Yeah.
So, where else have you been? Well, we'll get to southeastern Indiana caving before too long, but sure. As far as like the sort of main line of limestone in Indiana that most people are familiar with, where else have you been?
Well, I should have done a count. You know, I keep a log.
You're better than me.
Well,
a lot of people do. I'm just not. I'm terrible about it.
You know, I didn't until, you know, Dave Everton had mentioned, you know, that's probably a good thing to do, you know.
It's,
you know, it keeps track, you know, you keep track of where you've been and things like that. So I think I've been to 33 or 34 caves since last June.
You got me beat.
So I've...
Well, you're doing a lot. You're doing just a lot these. How old are your kids?
6, 7, and 8.
So, okay.
Yeah, they... And they
wow, that was, I mean,
yeah.
Bam, bam, bam,
right?
Get it over with.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Great. Not to get personal, but right. Man.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel I've been to quite a few in the last year. Of course, you know, your classics like Buckner and Sullivan and Wayne's. And I've been to some of the more northern caves, you know, like in Owen County. There's Porter.
Still haven't been there.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Is it, or is it just that pretty entrance? Is there a lot to do there?
You know,
there's still a lot to do. I mean, it's gorgeous. The entrance is gorgeous.
Right.
And I just heard about that car accident at that bend there.
Oh, okay.
Which was terrible. Didn't you post something on social media about that?
It must have been somebody else.
Yeah. But there's that really sharp bend.
Right,
and
right.
The ravine.
Right.
And somebody like drove a car.
Oh,
into it. It was bad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Good. Right.
But I always hear about Porter. I've never been myself. Not that I don't want to go. I'd love to go. I just haven't gotten the chance. And it's all I ever see is the entrance.
Right.
I mean, is the caving okay?
Yeah. Beautiful entrance. Yeah. You know, it's not a particularly hard cave at all. I mean, super simple cave.
Yeah.
Pretty much upright walking passage, you know, at least the part I've been to. You know, there's two different parts. There's the upper and the lower part. But it's loads of formation, so it's a real pretty cave to go and see.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be a show cave, right?
Right,
to a degree?
Yeah, to a degree. That's from what I hear, yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
In Owen County.
Right.
It's kind of inside baseball for those non-Indiana listeners, but Owen County is a little far north.
Right.
But it's still there in the karst, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any trips that you look back on that you would say, man, that was the best trip, or that was a real ass kicker? That was a real challenging trip, long trip, maybe a tough trip.
Let's see here. As far as tough trips go, I went to Wayne's a couple months ago.
Almost always a tough trip,
yeah,
depending on your ability.
Yeah. Well, I've been three times, and I've always struggled. I don't know which squeeze it is, but it's one of the real squeezy parts of the crawlway.
Of them, okay, yeah.
And I always have a tough time there, but this last time I went, I thought I was going to be stuck. You know, I think, I don't know if I put on a few pounds since.
On your way in or out?
On my way in.
On your way in.
Yeah.
So I hear about people getting feeling like they're getting stuck on the way out.
Right.
Through that birth canal part.
Right.
The sort of scalloped hard rock part where it's really low and tight.
Sure.
But on the way in, it's, for whatever reason, seems a little easier for some people. I don't know. I mean, I could be only speaking from personal experience. But
yeah, I had trouble on the way in. We got to Camp One, and...
Was it your first trip?
No, this is my third.
So it's like, I know I can get through
this. Yeah.
If it had been the first trip, it might have been...
Right.
A little shaky.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have went back. But, you know, I think maybe I just put on a few pounds, you know, since my second trip and had a tough time getting through the squeeze and got to Camp One. I said it was Carl Tuttle and Sam Ritchie and Daryl Lom. And I said, you know, guys, they were on their way to the RPI passage. I said, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and head out. Just not the best day for me to be caving, you know, with this.
You were already at Camp One and you're like, I'm leaving.
I was at Camp One and, you know, I've never really had a panic incident like that. And I got to that point and I thought, you know, I just want to get out.
And you did?
Yeah.
Did anyone go with you?
Yeah. Carl actually turned around. I told Carl, I said, you don't have to do that. And I felt bad, but you know, I was definitely appreciative. You know, he was
man,
a team player.
Yeah, that's a good leader.
Yeah, he
Carl's a good guy.
He is. Yeah.
He's on the CIG board, and I was really glad when he reached out to me last year and said, "Hey, I want to be a board member," because he's doing some cool stuff.
Yeah,
he and his daughter go on a lot of cool trips, and now his girlfriend. I mean, they do all kinds of cool stuff, and they're really nice people.
Oh yeah, definitely. So the other two, they went on to the RPI passage, which I now regret that I didn't get to see.
Have you not been to the RPI yet?
No.
Three trips to Wayne, you've never been to RPI?
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's like the trip.
Yeah.
I'm doing one in October.
Are you?
Yeah, October. Man. So when you've been to Wayne, though, where did you go?
The other two times, we went to Camp 2.
That's a good trip, too.
Yeah. And one of the trips, we had we went to the Helictite Holler Passage and American Bottoms Passage. So
yeah, a little further in.
Yeah, it was a good trip. And I'm looking forward, you know, to my next trip there. It was just that one incident, having a bad day and got stuck and... You know, just one of those times, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 6'4", 265 pounds. I'm a pretty big guy. So those squeezy passages, you know, don't always agree with me, but I get through them.
Yeah, you'll run into more trouble with the length of your femur than anything, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I have.
Right.
I'm 6'2". I'm not quite as tall as you, but I have trouble with my thigh more often than anything.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah, I could see that being a problem.
so that's the toughest trip. What about like the most fun? And we can talk about Southeastern Indiana too, because you've gone to some caves that not many people visit.
Yeah, most fun trip. I'll tell you, there was a trip we were actually supposed to lead a group of Boy Scouts through the Circle Route at Buckner, and they ended up canceling last minute, so we ended up exploring some of the side passages of Buckner, and that was pretty cool.
Great. Yeah. Like which one?
BS South.
Was that with Sam Ritchie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sam told me about that trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
BS South. I mean, you look at the new map and it goes way west.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's my understanding that once you get a little past the climb down for the waterfall passage, is it like walking the rest of the way or stoop walking?
You know,
because I've not been. I've been to Buckner more than any other cave, but I've never been down BS South.
Right. What stands out in my mind, there was actually quite a bit of squeezing that had to be done, but it didn't bother me that you know, on that trip. Is it
a crawl? Would you say it's a crawl?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Not the whole thing.
A good bit of it.
Yeah.
You made it all the way back to that flowstone in the back?
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, it was neat. And then I believe we went to Keene's Grotto as well. on that trip.
Oh, did you do it? Did you connect into the Air Force room, do those low crawls?
We were going to, but we didn't actually connect into the Air Force room.
It's super tight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we, you know, I remember, and this has been a while, I remember Dave Everton going for it, and he ended up kind of backing out because it just, you know, the tightness of it.
It's really tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just looked in it. I mean, I've never been through it myself. I've planned to do it sometime.
Right.
I think I could.
Right.
But it's really, I mean, you climb down in there. I came from the Air Force room. We went counterclockwise around the circle route, made it to the Air Force room. My wife and my sister-in-law took a break and I was like, I'm going to go check this out. I popped down in there,
right,
looked, and I was like, how tight is this really?
Right.
I look and God.
Sure. Right. Yeah. And from what I remember, you know, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, that was a good trip.
You can still make it though.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was a good trip. Always enjoy my Shiloh trips.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cave.
You've been there two or three times now, right?
Yeah, yeah. I led a trip last month, so it was a good trip.
Yeah.
You know, the caves over in the southeastern part of the state, you know, I can't get enough of those.
Well, let's get there. So I grew up in southeastern Indiana. I grew up kind of where Dearborn and Franklin and Ripley County meet.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are from Brookville. I grew up in Sunman. My first job was in Batesville. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in Dearborn County.
Sure.
And so a lot of those caves are in Ripley, Jennings, what are the other counties where there's karst over there?
Jefferson.
Jefferson County. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been in those, and it's not the best caving in the state.
Sure.
But there's some stuff there.
Oh yeah.
You look at the map of Indiana and you've got the sliver of the more well-known karst. And then you've got the little bit to the southeast that's definitely there. And there's some cool stuff. And I bet that a lot of that stuff has not been, you know, walked
right
as fully as it could be.
Right.
I bet there's some stuff hiding down there.
I bet there is. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just kind of, you know, get my feet wet with it, but, it's, you know, the further south you get, the longer they get. So we went to a cave two weekends ago in Jefferson County. We were probably halfway between North Vernon, Indiana and Madison, Indiana. So a little town called Deputy.
Is that kind of near the Big Oaks Wildlife Refuge?
Yes, I believe so.
I bet there's caves in there too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah. It's actually mapped at over 6,000 feet. So it's
really,
it's a good size cave. Yeah.
There's a cave more than 2000 feet long.
Wow.
That's what's, I think, sort of infamous about that area is that the caves, there's a few of them, but they're not very significant.
Right.
But there's a wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It was kind of, you know,
you remember what that one's called?
Yeah. Wilson's Cave. Also known as Lloyd's Cave. But there's two landowners. The other landowner hasn't had people approach him in a long time, so it was kind of difficult to arrange access at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got along great with him. Mm. We, you know, had a good conversation with him, and he's actually willing to let us come back, so I'm pretty excited about that.
So you're doing it right.
Yeah, right.
You're definitely doing it right.
Yes.
That's good. So does it have multiple entrances, have two entrances, or does the cave just run under this other guy's property?
It actually has five entrances.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, there's one entrance on the property that we have permission to go into. And then the other property has the other four entrances. So
no through trips.
No. No, you pretty much get to the end of it and turn around.
Well, what's it like? It being in the karst that's not as, you know.
Well, you know, once you enter it from where we entered the most northern entrance, and tons of fossils on the ceiling of the cave, tons of fossils. I mean, everywhere you look. There's a little side. Okay, so basically you get to like this junction, and if you go right, it's almost like a mini backbreaker. I mean, you're kind of slumped over, and you kind of do that for a while, and you come to that entrance. But if you go left, you know, it's pretty much all upright walking. And then you start seeing lots of formations, and there's not too many formations, you know, towards the front of the cave where we had entered in. You get about halfway through it or so, formations everywhere, and it's pretty impressive. It's
really,
I think, you know, I think on the map, the ceilings go as tall as maybe 11 feet or so. So, I mean, it's significant for that area.
So would you say, with your experience in the southeastern Indiana caves, would you say, is it the most significant cave, like the longest cave in that sort of vein of limestone?
That's a good question.
I mean, I don't know if you have the data or anything like that, but that, I mean, I've seen the lengths of most of the caves in southeastern Indiana, and they're all pretty, you know, piddly.
Right.
But 6,000 feet. I mean, that's...
I would say, I mean...
That's sort of off the charts for that area.
Right. Yeah. I'm learning more as I go, and I know I've only been to two caves in Jefferson County. The other one that I've been to, I want to say it's over it's about 3,000 feet, I think, mapped, something to that effect. And it's actually one of my favorite caves.
Which one is that?
It's called Cave Springs, also in the town of Deputy. It's a neat cave. It's the longest that I know of. I mean, I'm just getting started kind of with the Indiana Cave Survey. I just recently joined and kind of,
you know. So that's how you're getting the data with from the ICS. And then you're also then contributing by sort of doing the southeastern Indiana, which is a great idea because...
Right. Yeah, the way I understand it is, you know, your first 2 years as a member, you're an associate member, you're given a limited access to the database. It's mostly newsletters and guidebooks and things like that. And then you're expected to contribute, you know, reports and photos and things like that. And then after that 2 year period, I think you're then eligible for regular membership. And at that point, you know, you have the possibility of getting full access to the database.
Shows what I know. I mean, I'm the chairman of the CIG and I host this podcast, and that's about where it stops for me.
Well,
and I really should be getting involved with this other stuff, but I have a whole life outside.
Oh no.
Of
yeah. It's, yeah.
But it's really, really cool that right. You're doing that and that you're focusing. Would you say that you're focusing on southeastern Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause no one else is doing that. Well, I mean, that I know of.
Right.
Certainly people have, but...
Yeah, you know, you had asked me, you know, kind of where I'm getting my data and that type of thing. I'm actually also in contact with quite a few of the old-timers from the EIG, so they've been very... Perfect. They've been very helpful. You know, actually, Brian Level, who just passed, it's very unfortunate. He was always very, you know, very friendly to me and very helpful in, you know, helping me locate and, you know, giving me information on where certain caves are.
The more I hear about him, the more I just hear that he was just the best guy.
Right.
And yeah. I corresponded with him.
Right.
To get him on this podcast.
Oh, really?
And it just didn't work out. And
right. Right.
I'll probably regret that for a long time.
Sure. Sure. You know, and most of my correspondence with him was over Facebook.
Yeah.
So I never did get to meet him in person, so that's one thing I actually kind of regret as well. Always super friendly to me, super nice.
If you're wondering who this is, he was a multi-time chairman of the EIG and big guy in the EIG, the Eastern Indiana Grotto, and he just recently passed away of lung cancer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and he was Caver of the Year at Indiana Cave Capers this year and missed it by 1 week.
Right, right. Yeah, super nice guy. And there's also I don't think he does much caving anymore, but his name's David Randall. He was kind of the one that took me to some of the caves over there initially. So he kind of, he's been a big help. But yeah, you know, a little mixture of corresponding with EIG old timers. And, you know, I've got friends that have been Indiana Cave Survey members for a while now, so they've been very helpful. Yeah, just a mixture of different things. You know, that's helped me gain knowledge and, you know, locations and different things for the caves over there.
So you kind of got a few people bringing you up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I keep bringing up Dave Everton. He was the one that initially got me he took me on my first trip, my wife and I. He's been a huge help. I remember getting a phone call from him, you know, wanting to talk to me about opportunities over in my area, and I didn't quite know what that was all about, and We got to talking, and he said, "Yeah, there's lots of caves over there. This is probably."
And you're in Greensburg, right?
Greensburg, yep.
Yeah, you live in Greensburg, which is sort of towards southeastern Indiana.
Yeah, kind of where the caves. I think. I mean, from what I know, and I don't. You know, I'm still pretty new at this, but they kind of stop. I think in Decatur County. I don't think they go too much further.
Greensburg
north.
Is the county seat of Decatur County.
Yeah, correct.
And yeah, that was going to be my next question. Are there any caves in Decatur County?
Well,
there are, right?
Yeah, there are. I actually. We'll just call it an unnamed cave.
Sure.
I visited an unnamed cave. I don't think the owners are want a whole lot of a lot of traffic visiting this. It's only a 175 foot cave. It's about 5 miles maybe south of Greensburg. Just a little crawlway basically, but it has, you know, surprisingly enough, it has lots of formations. I noticed a lot of rimstone dams, some flowstone. Has a column right in the center about halfway through the cave. So it's kind of neat to get to see.
Yeah, it's worth going to.
Yeah, I thought so. There was also one that actually wasn't on file. My mom grew up in a town called Sandusky, just north of Greensburg. And she, kind of when I got first started into caving, she had mentioned this cave that they had went to as a kid. And, you know, it was in Sandusky. So we went out there. We contacted the landowner, and my mom had told him, you know, she had visited the cave as a kid. And, so we went out there, took a look at it, and, you know, I got a hold of some people, talked to Dave Everton about it. And I think we came to the conclusion it wasn't on file. So I got permission to go back out there and collected some data. And I did a little, you know, again, I've only been caving a year and 3 months, so
yeah.
I'm a beginner. But
I mean, by comparison to most, I'm a beginner too.
All right. Well,
I just have this podcast. That's all. I'm not really.
Well, hey, this is the podcast is great. I've really enjoyed it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I can do this. I can't do much else, so I'll do this.
Well, hey, that's the way you contribute. That's great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so we went out there and collected the data, and I made this very simple little sketch map. So I turned that into the Indiana Cave Survey. So one cave that wasn't on file now is. So
that's another tick on the list. That's great.
Yeah. So that's pretty much as far as my surveying goes. I don't have really have any surveying, you know, experience. I'd love to do it at some point, but just a basic sketch map is really all I've ever done. I've collected, you know, GPS points and things like that, but. That's kind of what I get a kick out of doing, you know, finding a lot of these caves that people haven't been to in years. And, that's kind of, I don't know if that's my niche or what, but that's kind of what I'm enjoying right now is finding, you know, validating, I guess, verifying entrances and things like that.
Well, you seem like a people person and like you're the kind of guy who can talk to landowners. And, you know, most people who have caves on their property, as a lot of cavers know, don't really go to them or don't really, not that they don't care about them, but it's just like, yeah, I got a cave.
Right. So
every couple of weekends, a bunch of weirdos with helmets show up and right. want to go in it. And I'm cool with that. But,
right.
you know, it's always so nice when you have a core group and you've got the one guy who can talk to the landowner and get you in.
Right.
And it seems like you're that guy.
You know, I seem to have pretty good luck with that, I guess. there's one cave in particular. I don't know if it's in Jennings or Jefferson. It's kind of right on the line there, and I won't mention the name of it. But it's one I really wanted to see. It's pretty good size. Spoke with a lot of people. Brian Level, Jeff Cody. I think he had been there quite a few times.
Jeff Cody, our light yogi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
we love him. He does so many chair talks for us and. He just knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so jealous of all the lights he gets for free.
Yeah, it's incredible. I approached the landowner of this cave, and I was pretty much cut off right away. And he told me, yeah, no, nobody's been in there for years. We're not going to, you know, get back into that. So I was kind of disappointed, but that's at this point, that's the only person that's told me no.
File that for a follow-up in 2 years.
Right. Yes, exactly.
we'll try again
right.
in a couple of years.
Right. Yeah. Oh, believe me, I'd love to go see it, but I respect
Do you know anything else about the cave? Like, is there a known surveyed length or anything like that? Or
that's a good question. I have a map of it, and I can't recall.
Well, if there's a map, then there certainly is. And I'm just wondering if it seems significant for that area or not.
It is. Yeah? Well, I mean, it's fairly significant. I think maybe, I'm just coming up with numbers off the top of my head, but maybe 3,000 feet.
Man, yeah.
It's a good size one for the area. I mean, it's...
Yeah, for the area, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear about all those caves in that area, you know, that are three-digit as far as length.
Right.
And if it is a four-digit, it's one something, you know, 1,000 something.
Right.
But, I mean, that's pretty, yeah.
Right.
Something else.
Right. So, you know, I have an old guidebook to an event they used to have called Karst Encounters. And it has tons of caves in the Jennings and Jefferson County area. Even, I don't know, I think it's mostly those two counties. But yeah, like you say, three-digit, you know,
yeah,
length. But for me, I mean, I'd still like to go see them.
That's what I mean. that's what I think is so cool, because there are so many people who are into caving and then they're serious about it and all that, but they only want to go to the really significant caves. And I get that. I completely understand. I'm probably one of them, to be completely honest, because I've never been on a survey trip. I just go for fun.
Right.
And if I find out that we're going to a cave that's 728 feet long, I'm like, what are we going to do next?
Right.
What else are we going to do?
Right.
You know, but you're into that, and that's cool.
Sure.
I think that's cool.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're doing the stuff nobody else wants to do.
Right.
To put it lightly, I guess.
Right.
To put it bluntly. But there's a lot of that in that part of the state.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most and definitely.
You're down to do it. And that's going to be your way in to the Indiana Cave Survey, because nobody else wants to go do that stuff.
Right.
And you can't get enough of it.
Yeah. I mean, so many of these caves, I mean, as far as I know, they just haven't been visited in years. You know, I'm sure that there probably are caves that haven't been explored much and haven't been mapped. I really don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm just getting started with this. But
well, you've already gotten a sketch map made of the one cave
right,
I visited.
I mean,
that's practice.
Yeah. And that was pretty cool. I mean, like I said, that's the extent. I mean, I've not done any survey trips. That's the extent of, you know, creating a map that I've ever done. There was one instance where we were going to do a survey trip in Morgan County. And, you know, that's pretty far north for the caves over in the other region of the state.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, we had got permission to visit some caves, and we went kind of ridge walking, I guess you could say. Walked around the property and found some holes, and yeah, they weren't on file. So it's a possibility we may be going back there in the future. We haven't gotten a response yet from the landowner, but I'm kind of hoping that may be my gateway into actually doing some real surveying.
Yeah.
So,
you just got to spin it the right way.
Right. Yeah, sure.
when did you go? When did you do the ridge walk?
That's been several months now.
Was it in the wintertime though?
No, it wasn't super cold out. I think it was probably towards the end of winter, beginning of spring, possibly.
Yeah.
But it's been several months now.
Well, if you found a couple holes that seemed to not be on file, you might go back when it's really cold, like in January or February.
Yeah.
See if anything's steaming.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That was the coolest thing. I've only been on a couple ridge walks in my life, but that was one of the coolest things. I went with Ron Adams on a ridge walk and Harrison Crawford, and this was when the caves were still closed to WNS, or it was near Harrison Crawford anyway.
Right.
And so we didn't go in anything.
Sure.
But we had, you know, it was just cool because it was freezing outside, and some of these holes were just billowing steam. And just,
right.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm showing my rookie nature, I guess, to caving in that I haven't done a whole lot of this and I'm still sort of fascinated by that, but it was just,
right, sure.
It was just cool.
Sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I guess you could call that a ridge walk. I mean, what we did.
No, totally. You can.
I mean, we just, you know, we hiked around the property and we were looking for holes. And
yeah. You may have not done it technically right, but you found stuff.
Right.
Sometimes people do it right and don't find anything.
Right. Right. And you know, I keep bringing his name up, and he's been so instrumental in my, you know, my caving.
Dave?
Dave. Yep, you knew it. He
and I still haven't gone caving, and it's all my fault. It's not his fault. He's offered me several trips, and I'm just like, nah, I can't.
Right.
I got a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I remember you guys talking about going to Binkley on his episode of the podcast. I'd like to go there too. I've never been there. So.
I finally got to go a couple month and a half ago or so with Laura Demarest. And just did kind of a classic Binkley trip.
Right.
Went to the mountain room and then went a little further upstream and then turned around.
Sure. You know, as far as I've gotten, you know, taking a trip to Binkley, I peeked down in the hole at the fairgrounds last year at Cave Capers.
Oh, yeah, the fairgrounds spring.
I decided, yeah, you know.
That's a nasty entrance if I ever saw one.
Yeah, I decided, I'll find something else to do today. So,
I thought that was so cool, too. And, I mean, that was my first Capers as chairman, first of two, you know, this year being the second.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, man, we're going to do it at the fairgrounds where there's an entrance to Binkley. And all the guys were looking at me like, you know anything about that entrance? I was like, no, I don't. And then I found out later it's a shit entrance.
Right. Yeah. I decided to turn
barely
around.
Barely
counts. Right. Yeah, I decided to turn around. We didn't go any further than just kind of peeking down in.
So, what else have you done that's just really kind of excited you? You've kind of gotten your wife and kids into it. Where have you taken them?
Yeah, to a certain degree. Okay, so we've been to Donahue. We've been to Truett Cave.
Haven't been there.
It's a good beginner's cave.
I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed going there. I've been there, I think I've been there three times. So it's a nice little cave.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to...
Did you do Buckner?
We haven't done Buckner as a family. That's probably
that'd
one we should
okay
do.
One.
So, yeah.
There's
yeah
some advanced parts around the circle route, but,
right,
you know.
That'd be a good one to do sometime.
That's a good
probably
shakedown cave.
Yeah.
I took my sister into Buckner, and I don't think I'll ever get her into a cave again.
Really?
Yeah, she wasn't quite for her.
Right.
But her birthday present to me this year was promising me that she would go back to a cave sometime.
Okay, cool.
Sometime. So I think I'll take her to Donahue, and we'll just go through
there
the stream to the flowstone and back.
There you go.
You know that flowstone choke where the ear dipper, you can go through,
sure,
but we won't.
Right.
We'll just turn around.
Right. Yeah, sure.
That'd be a good trip for her.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Where else have you been with the fam?
You know, my boy goes with me quite often.
The oldest?
He's actually the youngest.
The youngest, the 6-year-old.
Yeah. You know, I've got two daughters, and my son. The two daughters, you know, they're getting older, and they have some things going on, extracurricular activities that they, you know, it's kind of what they do now. So they still go caving from time to time, but not as often as my boy does.
Mm-hmm.
He goes caving with me probably the most out of anybody in the family. So
that's cool. That's got to feel cool, right?
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He can't get enough of it. And I've had so many people compliment him saying, you know, I've never... You know, there's adults that wouldn't go into this cave, and look at you.
Check in with me in 5 years. We'll see if my kid's doing the same
right
thing.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Actually, two of my kids went to Shiloh when I led a trip here a few weeks back.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've seen quite a few. My son's been to Peacher's Cave. That's a pretty neat one. It's got one of those squeezy little things that I don't like, right at the beginning.
Does he like that? Does he relish in that challenge?
I
know if I were 6 years old,
right,
I think I would like that.
Yeah, he likes it. He likes it. But again, I don't think, well, I don't think he's going to take after me as much as he's going to take after his mom in size. So, I mean, he's a pretty small little guy, so he can.
Well, that's good. For
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't think he'll be cursed with my size. So,
you're 6'4", you say?
6'4", yeah.
Gracious.
Yeah, it's...
That backbreaker in Sullivan's probably no fun for you.
Yeah, you know, I do like Sullivan. I'll get an appetite for Sullivan every once in a while. I've been there quite a few times.
Where's the farthest you've been in Sullivan?
Just to the spiral room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you then go out Speed Hollow?
I did not. The person that I... You know, Sam, I had mentioned Sam Ritchie... I do a lot of caving with him, and he was kind of leading the trip that day, and he thought he knew where it was at, but he wasn't entirely sure. So we heard
about this trip. Yeah, yeah. And that happens a lot. Sam shouldn't feel bad about that.
Right.
But that happens an awful lot
right
where people go and they think they know, and then they, you know, they,
sure. Sure.
That's a tough thing to find there, apparently.
Yeah. Well, he actually, he went to Sullivan this past Saturday with Dan Vetters and a few other people.
Well, Dan knows what he's doing.
Sure, yeah. And they they found it. And so Sam said, yeah, that'll be next on our list sometime. So I'm looking forward to that trip.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, when I went up to the rise at the very end of Sullivan, at the river passage, and came back, I crawled through the backbreaker. I'm 6'2", and I'm right. Like, I'm not stoop walking. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm just going to crawl hands and knees out.
Right. There's parts of the
I pissed backbreaker. Off the other guys I was with because I was slow as molasses.
But right.
I was like, I can't stoop walk.
Right. Yeah. There's parts of that, of the backbreaker I crawl to. I mean, I can't stoop walk. It's too low.
I was crawling in walking passage that day on the way back just because I was disoriented and just, right. Just gassed completely.
Well, you know, that trip's kind of on my bucket list. I'd like to do that sometime.
Yeah. It's a great trip. I would do it again if I had the time.
Right, right. You say 10-hour trip?
We did it in 10 and a half or 11,
right.
I think.
That's a trip.
Yeah, we had a small group, though. We had four. If we had six, it'd probably take 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most groups, I think, do it in 12.
Okay.
Taking their time.
That's something I'd like to do at some point. I'd also like to go to Camp Fort. Well, I first need to see the RPI passage. You know, I hear so many good things about it. But
well, you know, it would be good to go to Wayne and do Camp Four as sort of a kind of like a Sullivan Rise trip, where it's just like, you know, an ass kicker for the sake of being an ass kicker,
right?
And then maybe go back later and do RPI.
More of a bucket list thing, you know.
Yeah.
I've done it. Yeah, maybe I'll do it sometime down the road, but I've at least done it. So if I never do it again.
Have you heard the podcast episode with Ron Adams, the very first one that I ever did?
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about doing Camp Four.
That's crazy.
Three times in a week.
Wow, that's insane.
And did it in like 6.5 hours the third time.
Right.
Can you imagine? I mean, I've never been to Camp Four, so I don't know. But I imagine if I ever do it, I'm going to be like, I can't believe he did that three times in 1 week.
I couldn't imagine going to Camp Two three times in 1 week.
Exactly. The first time I did Wayne, we barely made it to Camp Two,
right?
And out, and when I got out of the crawlway, I said, "I'm never coming back to this cave again."
Yeah, sure.
I've been back four times since,
right.
But
right.
Anyway,
I said that to Carl this last time. You know, but you know, I'm ready to go back. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I like that cave. I'm having a bad day that day. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think it was the third time I ever made it into Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I got about 200 feet into the crawlway, and mm-hmm. It was sort of a triple threat. I was on low sleep.
Uh-huh.
I had stayed up late the night before. It was Capers 2012, and the meteor shower, the Perseid meteor shower, fell on that weekend. So I stayed up watching it with a friend of mine.
Right.
And then the next day, I was tired, a little hungover. And I hadn't eaten any breakfast.
Right.
And so I got 200 feet in, and a couple of the other people had bailed. And so it was just kind of a waterfall of people bailing, which was probably for the best, because they had a three or four person group that was really fast and fit.
Right.
And I would have just slowed them down.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that'd be a good combination.
No, it was bad.
Yeah.
I yelled up to him. I got to about the stalactite squeeze and yelled, I'm not doing this today.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's how that went.
Yeah.
But as far as Indiana classics, what else have you done?
Well, Dog Hill, is, you know, part of the Donahue Dog Hill system.
Did that through trip, did the Berg squeeze. How did
I can't do the Berg squeeze.
Oh, you didn't do the Berg. So you only went in Dog Hill and poked around and came back out?
Yes.
Yeah. You been to where the connection is?
Yes. You know, I've never tried too hard to get through it, but this was kind of fairly early in my caving career, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Where I tried to do it and I wasn't comfortable. So I don't know if I can do the Berg squeeze or not.
I bet you could if you tried, but it took me like 7 or 8 minutes to get through.
And
it's all in Berg squeeze. You go through it, you can fit.
Right.
But it's all about, I mean, you're 6'4", I'm 6'2", and that's what took me the longest time, because it's all about the length of your femur in that squeeze.
Right.
It's, I mean, there's room for you if you've got some girth. You know, I've got a bit of belly and whatever, so that's never mattered.
Right.
But it's my femur that hangs me up in there.
Right.
And it's actually, I think since I've been there, it's been widened. So I bet if you went there and tried, you could do it.
Probably.
But it's not, it's a bit of a mental shakedown, I guess.
Yeah, I was somewhat envious of Andrew Coyle. he took me there and we went up and he
that skinny right, little bastard.
Yeah, he went right through. And
he and I put up signs at Capers this year. We had a, good fun afternoon driving around Capers, and he was just talking a blue streak about all the stuff he'd done, which I was glad to hear.
Oh yeah,
it was really cool. I mean, he does all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah.
He's
kind of definitely interested also in the southeastern
Because he's from Batesville.
Well,
right?
Actually, he lives in Greensburg.
In Greensburg, works in Bates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So he we've done quite a few trips over in Jennings, Jefferson County. He actually pointed out last time we were over in North Vernon, which is in Jennings County, he said, I want to show you something. So we walked down to this little place. It's this little dry creek bed that runs into the side of a hill, from what I remember. And there's all kinds of like debris and logs lodged into the side of this hill. And he said, I bet there's a cave there. So he said, we'll have to come back here when it gets cold to see exactly what we have here. So
yeah.
That may be a project in the future. I don't know.
You're going to have to dig a bunch of detritus out of a hole in the ground.
Yeah, right.
I bet he's right, though. I mean, he knows what he's looking at, I guess.
Right, right.
So you saw it. Do you concur?
I mean, I would say, most likely. I mean, it's a creek that runs in the side of a hill. I would say probably. I'm not a geologist, but.
That sounds pretty obvious to me.
Right, right. Yeah. From the little I know, I mean.
So have you ever run into any kind of trouble?
You know, I keep bringing this up, but squeezy passages.
Just squeezy stuff, yeah.
You know, I went to a cave, I don't think it's been quite 2 months, maybe a month and a half, called Salt Creek. It's in Bedford. And it's got a super tight, well, it's not tight in the same way that Wayne's Crawlway is tight. It constricts you all the way around. You have to, like, Superman through it, and I didn't think I was going to get through it. I went with Dave Everton and David Schaefer from Bedford. I actually got through it, and I sat there for a minute thinking to myself, do I really want to go through this whole cave and then be exhausted and get back to this entrance and then try to get out of this? Because it took me probably about 20 minutes to get through this little hole.
Was everyone waiting on you?
Well,
because that's the worst.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah. Dave went in first, and then I went in second, and then David Schaefer went behind me. You know, I sat there for a few, and I thought, no, I really want to see this cave. Let's do it. So, but that was pretty tight. I would say, you know, tight passages are usually where I run into trouble. You know, I've not had anything else really catastrophic happen other than feeling like I'm going to get stuck, and that's never fun.
No, but with you being the caver that you are, and the fact that you know you love it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to let it wig you out.
No. It's like, I've had people ask me, you know, can we go back to Peacher sometime? Yeah, sure. I don't like the crawlway, but yeah, why not? you know, I'd love to go back to Salt Creek. Same thing with Wayne's. Yeah. Again, I don't care for the crawlway, but hey, let's do it.
what's at the end? I mean,
right.
Why not?
So I would, you know, I'm a member of the CIG. Not
is that the only grotto membership you have?
Yeah, as of right now.
Okay.
And I'm not incredibly active or anything. You know, I've gone to a few meetings, and I actually really enjoy going to the meetings and catching
up
with people.
It's a drive for you, though, isn't it?
It is,
I mean, from Greensburg to Indy, I mean, that's just shy of an hour.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of tough for me to do. Yeah, I work first shift, so I get up pretty early, and that's kind of tough to do through the week, but it's still fun to go.
What do you do?
I actually... I work for a wire harness shop in Columbus. I put together quotes and pricing for customers, and then, you know, production documentation, that type of thing. So
it's a
really, really good job. I really enjoy what I do. So I would like to, you know, get more involved. Well, I would actually like to get involved, period, with the EIG, possibly join the Eastern Indiana Grotto. You know, I think they meet quarterly. So it's not real often when they meet.
And why is that? Just because they're the ones who sort of pioneered that part of the state, the southeastern Indiana karst.
I'd say that's a big part of it. I'd love to get to meet in person. You know, I've corresponded a lot on Facebook with a lot of these people, but some of the old timers, it'd be nice to actually get to meet them in person and, you know, go to our grotto meeting and actually, you know, talk with them. So that's kind of maybe next on my list.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Andrew, who I do some caving with, he's a member of the EIG. So
yeah.
He's,
is he also a member of the CIG or is he just EIG?
You know, I think he's only EIG.
I think when I talked to him, yeah, he said the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he's always been on me to join, you know, he does, you know,
sounds like him.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's like so many other things. It seems like, a lot of these, types of activities and organizations, they're not what they once were. And, you know, membership declines because people just don't like to do things anymore.
Yeah.
So I would love to be a part of that, to maybe, you know,
sort of revitalize the EIG.
It'd be great. Yeah.
With some youth.
That'd
you
be
and,
great.
You and
yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah. That's kind of what we talk about quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah. There's some guys that are still carrying the torch and they're still a heck of a grotto, but.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. I mean, only meeting quarterly and, right. And probably they don't have the membership to make it worth meeting more often. You
right.
know?
And I think.
So I think that'd be really good. As much as I would love to have you get involved in right. CIG leadership or things like that.
Sure.
I mean, that's noble. I would never argue against that.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm still kind of considering everything, but yeah, I would, you know, again, I've corresponded with people on Facebook. It's not really the same thing as actually getting together with people and talking with them in person. And
well, yeah.
So that's kind of, I'd love to get to know these people in person. So that's kind of part of it, but yeah, that's, Kind of my plan, I guess. I'm still going to be a member of the CIG and probably just have.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Have dual membership, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, my biggest focus at this point is basically trying to visit as many caves in the southeastern part of the state as I can. When I initially was interested in joining the Indiana Cave Survey, Bruce Trotter gave me a list of caves to verify entrances. So that's kind of Andrew and I, we're planning on doing that maybe this fall, trying to gather as much information about these caves. I think there's probably 25 caves on the list where they need GPS coordinates and that type of thing. So
yeah, you'll be in times five.
right. It's, you know, that's one thing I love to do is just almost kind of rediscovering these caves because, I mean, I'm not discovering anything by any means.
No, but in a way you are though. You're right.
People haven't been there in so long.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's two main karst areas of the state.
Right.
And everyone goes to the one.
Right.
You know, and nobody goes to the other one.
Right.
And so you're doing what should be done.
And that's what's so exciting to me about it is, you know, me, Andrew, and a few other people. I mean, there's not too many people interested in it. So that really excites me to be a part of that. I'd also love to see, you know, the state caves over there get reopened.
Miskatonic?
Crosley.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's state property, and there's one in particular when you had Greg McNamara on.
Yeah.
His first cave was Beely Cave in Jennings County.
Oh, in Jennings County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And
there's caves in Versailles State Park too, right?
I know of one at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's at least one. There's probably more. I don't know. I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of research on Versailles State Park, but I have a friend that lives over in Versailles. So I was talking to him about it one time and he was telling me about one over there.
Yeah.
Forget what it's called though. But, yeah, I'd love to see the caves, in Crosley. I don't know right off the top of my head how many are there. Yeah, that'd be a question for Jeff Cody or somebody, you know, from the EIG that spent a lot of time over there. But
yeah.
Beely Cave, I've seen a lot of pictures and seen some video footage of it, and it looks really impressive. I'd love to. But like, you know, when I talked to Dave Everton, you know, his whole thing with me has always been, you know, focus on the caves you can get in and not on the ones that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of where I'm at. You know, maybe one day it'll, you know, they'll be open, but we'll see.
There's plenty that you can the meantime. There's plenty that you can.
Tons.
And you're focusing on a part of the state that, not a lot of people are interested in.
Sure.
And so, I mean, you're like carving out a niche for yourself in the Indiana caving community. And that's what's so exciting. And I mean, you know, I've had less experienced people on the show. Not that you're not particularly, but you haven't been doing it that long.
No.
You know, and normally I would, normally I'd be like, no, you know, call me in a couple of years or whatever.
Sure.
But because you're focusing on that is why I wanted to talk to you.
Right.
And it's a little personal for me because I grew up in that part of the state, which is super exciting for me.
Sure.
I've never been in a single cave in that part of the state.
Right.
And that's just cool.
Well,
let's plan a trip.
We'll have to do it. Yeah, we'll have to plan a trip. I've been going about once a month, it seems like, down there. So, but yeah, I almost feel kind of humbled, you know, with all the people you've had on, and here I am. I've caved for a year and 3 months.
Yeah, but I've had some other, I mean, those two high school kids I had on that one time, you know, I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
But I appreciate you coming by. Do you have a favorite cave?
Well, I was just thinking about that. That's hard. That's really hard.
It's so hard to do, and I hate asking the question because it's like such a noob interviewer type question. And so I hate to even ask, but like if you had one, what would it be? Or maybe two or three of them.
Okay. As far as Jennings County caves go, I would say my top favorite is Cave Springs in Deputy, Indiana. It kind of you kind of start off in a it's a crawl, and then it opens up into this large room with tons of formations and a waterfall. You climb up the waterfall, and you know in the main passage there's just tons of formations, and it's a really nice neat cave. That's probably one of my favorites in Jefferson County, as well as Wilson's Cave, the 6,000 footer that I was talking about. That was impressive. I can't wait to go back. As far as, you know, down in southern Indiana, that's very tough to answer.
so many good ones.
I love Buckner. I'm going there this weekend.
Me too.
That's a good
one. Not this weekend, but I love it.
Yeah, that's one of my, you know, I like, I mentioned Porter. It's a really pretty cave.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple cave to go through. It's not hard. You don't sweat much going through there, but it's a nice, pretty cave. Shiloh's always a good one to go to. And Donahue, it was my first one, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, I'm kind of a nostalgic guy, so I got a place for that, you know, that's kind of what, started it all for me. So
what could you possibly answer why you think you like it so much?
Yeah. The sense of adventure and well, you know, I'm the type of person I like to, like I said, hike through the woods and go camping and things. And it's kind of an extension to that, I guess. You know, there's so much busyness and traffic and this and that with work and, you know, just everything in life.
It's one of the only ways you can think of to completely disconnect.
Disconnect, yes. And it's a stress reliever. It's therapeutic in a certain sense. I mean, it's a stress reliever for me. So I would say those would be my biggest reasons, I guess, for caving, I guess, you know. Getting to see something nobody or, you know, very few people actually, you know, see on a regular basis. It's something I enjoy and I plan on, you know, doing it probably indefinitely, you know, until I can't do it any longer.
Good answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you have yet to do vertical, right?
Yes. yeah, I'd love to get into that. You know, and I think for me, I would use it more as an means to an end.
So you it seems like you're kind of in the Dick Blends part where you're not interested in doing vertical unless there's cave at the bottom.
Right.
Whereas I love bouncing pits.
Right.
I'll go to a pit, go down, come right back up. I don't care.
Right.
And that's fun for me.
And I've never done it yet, so.
So maybe you'll like it.
Maybe I will. And you know, my wife, like I said, she doesn't cave as often as I do, but we get a family trip in here and there. But she's more, I think, interested in the idea of vertical caving. So
my wife too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely something I think we're going to look into, in the future. You know, I miss out on some trips. You know, I see some grotto trips posted.
Because of the vertical element.
Yeah. And I can't go on them. So it's kind of motivation to, to learn. I'd like to learn that aspect of it.
You've got some gear. You inherited some gear from somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so go through that and get it all figured out. And we'll get you got to come to the CIG Vertical Workshop.
Sure, yeah.
In February or whenever we decide to do it in 2019.
Right. Pretty much, you know, I have what I need. My my friend who gave it to me, I used to work with him, and he has some health issues now. So he's actually a Decatur County caver as well. I believe he was active in the EIG, but because of health issues, he doesn't cave much anymore. So I inherited his gear. So
nice.
Yeah. It was
might as well
really
get some
cool.
use from somebody.
Yeah, might as well.
Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey,
this
Matt,
has been great.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I feel very humbled because you've had some pretty experienced people, and I'm the newbie. So
man, this was too much fun, though.
Right.
I mean, you're I had you on because you're doing something that I'm not hearing from anybody else in Indiana. You're doing
right.
you're looking for those caves.
Right.
You know, and this is my podcast, damn it.
Right.
And I can have on whoever I want.
Sure.
And you're looking at the caves close to where I grew up. And
sure.
That's super cool.
Right. And we're gonna have to do a trip.
We have to.
Yep.
Yeah. We gotta find I wanna check out Wilson is the one that's super long, over a mile.
Yep. Wilson's you'll be first on the list to get invited.
We gotta check that out.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, Matt, thanks.
Great hanging out, Aaron. Let's go caving, man. And great hanging out with you, too. Thanks for listening. And since you're still here, I'll let you in on some cool info. Next month's guest, and I'm so excited, is South Dakota caver Renee Ohms. I'm so glad to finally have another great female caver on the podcast, and I'm hoping for many more this year, planning for many more, as a matter of fact. Thanks to Ellen Whittle for connecting us. There were two other fabulous women cavers that she suggested, too. You know who you are, and I'd love to talk to you as well. If you or someone you know would like to be on this podcast, please email me at alpineproductions@gmail.com, alpineproductions@gmail.com. Thanks to our sponsors, past and present, Swago, online at swagogear.com. Swagos are back. Organic Robot on Etsy, great caving and outdoor-related shirts by Charlie Vetters. And if you have a caving-related business and want to sponsor this podcast, I promise it's cheap, and I'm happy to take your sponsorship in trade. Email me, let's talk. Of course, a great way to support the podcast is just to subscribe or give me a good rating and review on iTunes. Only takes a second. I'm Matt Pelser of the Central Indiana Grotto. Again, pardon my voice. Until next time, kill nothing but time.